Nation of Me.
"Good to see you, Pierce,"
said the man on the throne. He smiled pleasantly but distantly.
"I gather you've been keeping well."
Pierce had already come to understand that the truly ancient were not like ordinary humans. "Do you remember being me?" he asked, staring. The man on the throne raised an eyebrow.
"Wouldn't you like to know?"
He gestured at the bridge connecting his command dais to the far side of the room.
"You may approach."
Combat drones and uniformed retainers withdrew respectfully, giving Pierce a wide berth. He tried not to look down as he walked across the bridge, with only partial success. The storms of Jupiter swirled madly beneath his feet. It had made him nauseous the first time he'd seen them, through a dumb glass window aboard the low-G shuttle that had brought him hence. Evidently his captors wanted to leave him in no doubt that he was a long way from home. Occulting the view of the planet was the blue-tinged quicksilver disk of the largest time gate he'd ever seen, holding open in defiance of protocol with preposterous, scandalous persistence. "Why am I here?" Pierce demanded. A snort.
"Why do you think?"
"You're me," Pierce shrugged. "Me with a whole lot more experience and age, and an attitude problem." They dressed him in the formal parade robes of a stasis agent, rather than the black jumpsuits that seemed to be de rigueur around this place. It was a petty move, to enforce his alienation, and besides, it had no pockets. To fight back, he focused on the absurd. Black jumpsuits and shiny boots on a spaceship? Someone around here clearly harbored thespian fantasies. "And now you've got me." His older self stiffened.
"We need to talk alone."
His eyes scanned the throne room.
"You lot, dismissed."
Pierce glanced round just in time to see the last of the human audience flicker into one history. He looked back toward the throne. "I was hoping we could keep this civilized," he said mildly. "You've got all the leverage you need. I'm in your power." There. It was out in the open. Not that there'd been any doubt about it, even from the beginning. This ruthless ancient with his well-known mirror face and feigned bonhomie had made Pierce's position crystal clear with his choice of greeters. All that was left was for Pierce to politely bare his throat and hope for a favorable outcome.
"I didn't rescue you from those scum in order to throw you away again."
His older self seemed almost irritated.
"Though what you see in her..."
He shook his head.
"You're safe here."
Pierce rolled his eyes. "Oh, really? And I suppose if I decline to go along with whatever little proposition you're about to put to me, you'll just let me walk away, is that it? Rather than, oh, rewind the audience and try again with a clean sheet me." He met the even gaze of the man in the throne and suddenly felt finger high.
"No,"
said the man on the throne after a momentary pause.
"That won't be necessary. I'm not going to ask you to do anything you wouldn't ask me to let you do."
"Oh." Pierce considered this for a moment. "You're with the opposition, though, aren't you? And you know I'm not." Honesty made him add, "Yet."
"I told you he'd say that," said Yarrow behind him.
Pierce's head whipped round. She nodded at him, but kept her smile for the man on the throne.
"He's young and naive. Go easy on him."
The man on the throne nodded.
"He's not that naive, my lady."
He frowned.
"Pierce, you slit the throat of your own double, separated from you by seconds. You joined the stasis, after all. But do you really imagine it gets easier with age, when you've had time to meditate on what you've done? There's a reason why armies send the flower of their youth to do the killing and dying, not the aged and cynical. We have a name for those who find murder gets easier with experience. Monsters."
He raised a hand.
"Chairs all around."
A pair of seats appeared on the dais, facing him, ghosts of carved diamond, fit for the lords of creation.
"I think you should be the one to tell him the news,"
he suggested to Yarrow.
"I'm not sure he'd believe me. He hasn't had time to recover from the trauma yet.
All right.
Yarrow slid gratefully into her own chair, then glanced at Pierce.
You'd better sit down.
Why? Pierce lowered himself into his seat expectantly.
Because.
She nodded at Pierce's elder self, who returned the nod with a dryly amused smile.
He's not just a member of the opposition. He's our leader. That's why internal affairs have been all over you like ants. And that's why we had to extract you and bring you here.
Rubbish. Pierce crossed his arms. That's not why you had to grab me. You've already got him. I assume I'm a palimpsest or leftover from an assassination attempt. So what do you want with me? In the here and now, I mean.
Yarrow looked flustered. Pierce.
His older self placed a restraining hand on her knee as he leaned forward.
Allow me?
He looked Pierce in the eyes.
The opposition is not, you probably already worked this out, external to the stasis. We come from within. The stasis is broken, Pierce. It's drifting rudderless toward the end of time. We've got an alternative plan for survival. Internal affairs is tasked with maintaining internal standards. They're opposed to structural change at all costs. They overwrote your wife's epic because they discovered possible evidence of our success.
The evidence of abandoned cities on an alien moon, the fleet of gigantic slower-than-light colony starships. Was this all just internal politics within the stasis hierarchy?
Whatever would they want to do that for? He asked. They're not interested in deep space.
Except insofar as there were threats to the survival of humanity that had to be dealt with. Yarrow shook her head.
We disagree. They're very interested in deep space. Specifically, in keeping us out of it.
She inhaled deeply.
Did you notice, when you were consulting the library, any sign of histories that touched on extraterrestrial settlement? Even though we have re-terraformed the Earth thousands of times over, strip-mined the sun, rearranged gas giants, built black holes, and ripped an entire star system from its native galactic cluster?
Pierce shook his head, uncertain.
We've built and destroyed thousands of biospheres, sculpted continents, we outnumber the stars in the cosmos, but we've never spread to other solar systems. Doesn't that strike you as a little odd?
But we co-evolved with our planet. We're not adapted to life elsewhere. Pierce stopped. We can do terraforming and time gates, he realized. Even if we can only have one wormhole end open at any given time. We rebuilt the sun. We've mapped every planet within 10 million light years.
Are we?
He asked plaintively.
There's a science empire running down on Earth right now, said the man on the throne. They've been studying that question for 12,000 years. We brought them the probe fleet reports. They say it can be done, and they've been building and launching a colony ship a year for the past 6 centuries.
He frowned.
We've had that big gate in place ever since the dawn of civilization, to block internal affairs from detecting and overwriting our operation here. Officially, we're in the middle of a fallow epoch, and the system should be uninhabited and uninhabitable. We moved in ahead of the first scheduled reseeding. But they never give up. Sooner or later, they'll notice us and start looking for the other side of our barricade, the static drop we funneled you through.
What happens when they find it? Asked Pierce.
600 inhabited worlds die, and that's just for starters,
Yarrow said quietly.
Call it unhistory if you like euphemisms, but did your graduation kill feel unreal to you? Unlike your...
Her nose wrinkled in the ghost of a sniff.
Wife and children, the inhabitants of the colony worlds won't be retrievable through the library.
And those 600 planets are just the seed corn,
his older self chimed in.
The start of something vast.
But why? He asked. Why would they... He stopped.
The stasis isn't about historicity, said Yarrow. That might be the organization's raison d'etre, but the raw truth of the matter is that the stasis is about power. Like any organization, it lives and grows for itself, not for the task with which it is charged. The governing committee, it's very sad, but it's been like this as long as there's been a stasis.
We rescued you because we specifically want you. My first iteration, or as near to it as we've been able to get, give or take the assassination ambush and Carnegra, said the man on the throne. We need your help to cut us free from the dead hand of history.
But what?
Pierce lowered his hands to touch his belly.
My phone, he said slowly. It's damaged, but you could have repaired it.
It's not there anymore, is it? Yarrow nodded slowly.
Can you tell me why? She asked.